Well, welcome back to the show. It was an interesting weekend, to say the least. As I'm sure you're very aware of by now, top-ranked Alabama went down at the hands of South Carolina 35-21 in Columbia. Jacob Unn, joined as always by David Sears here twice a week now. David, just a miserable day for Alabama in more ways than just one.
Alabama just got flat-out outplayed, outcoached, out everything. It just did not look good. They did not look like the number one team in the nation. It looked like South Carolina was the number one team in the nation. Alabama struggled mightily defensively. They struggled offensively. They got away from their bread and butter and became a passing team for some strange reason.
36 rushing yards for Alabama. Interesting stat. Under head coach Nick Saban, these are the three fewest rushing yardage gained games for Alabama. 2010, South Carolina was 36 yards, which was, of course, Saturday. 2009, against Utah, they had 31 rushing yards. That was, of course, a loss. And 2007, playing the eventual national champions that year, LSU, they had only 20 rushing yards. Those are the three games with the fewest rushing yards for Alabama under head coach Nick Saban. Interesting stat there.
Another interesting stat, Saban is now 1-3 against the old ball coach, Steve Spurrier.
Great win for Steve.
Second all-time in the SEC in victories. And
welcome back to Relevance, Steve Spurrier, and welcome to Relevance. South Carolina, a program that's really been nowhere since joining the SEC. That win does so much.
It does. It does. They've got a lot of young talent with Alshon Jeffrey and Marcus Lattimore. So Garcia is only a junior, so they could have a good offensive core for this year and next year possibly. So we'll see. And is Spurrier finally going to be able to get South Carolina over the hump? The East definitely looks down this year with Florida struggling. No real challenge out of Georgia or Tennessee. We're going to see South Carolina in the driver's seat. We're going to see how they handle being in the driver's seat and in control of their own destiny. Possibly, if they can win out, maybe even have a shot at a national title.
Well, you talk about South Carolina, and while it was a huge test and playing number one and beating number one, what a great accomplishment that was. However, I think the biggest test for South Carolina comes this week. That's right. They go to Lexington to play the Wildcats of Kentucky, a team that's very strange. Sometimes they can show up and play, and sometimes they can't. Can South Carolina respond after an emotional victory over a number one team and beat Kentucky? I think that's the biggest test for them.
It will be. I have faith that the old ball coach will probably be able to focus. But however, if the Cocks laid a huge egg here, I would not be surprised whatsoever either. I mean, this is probably going to be a fluke in their history. I mean, everything was just building towards this crescendo. Bama was coming off back-to-back really tough games against top 10 teams. Then they get South Carolina. AP in the modern AP era, only one team playing a top 5 or top 10 team at home, then going on the road to another ranked team the next week has won. That was Notre Dame back in 1990. And as Reese Davis pointed out, it was a dropped interception by Michigan State that allowed Notre Dame to win. So it's just a very tough thing. It just shows you the depth of the SEC. Everyone was saying it was a down year. Well, we may be pretty top-heavy. Three top teams in the West with one good one in the East. And it's just one of those things where you play the game to see what happens. You don't play the game on paper.
Question I think a lot of people around here want to know, and how bad is it for Alabama? Is Alabama really that bad, or did they have just a bad game? I mean, they struggled against Arkansas in the first half. They were very exploited there. They were able to correct mistakes in the second half and really shut down Ryan Mallett's passing attack. But they did not do that at all Saturday. Can they respond? Can Alabama come back? Because they have two huge tests, and you can't play around with the likes of Ole Miss and Tennessee. However, I think they will handle those games. But, I mean, how bad is it for Alabama? That defense, if they can get exploited like that every game, it could be a long season for Alabama.
It could be. It's going to be very interesting to see the mental toughness of this team. Will they have the mental toughness to bounce back, go and play and become a dominating team, or will they just fold and say, you know what, we won last year, we can rest on our laurels, we can regroup again? They still have the goal of the SEC championship this year, which is a very attainable goal.
Well, they're not, and don't discount Alabama from the national championship race either. They're not out of the national championship race, but let's be honest, they're not in it either.
They're going to need a lot of help. Nebraska and Oklahoma will probably play each other, so one of those will lose. But outside of that, you're not really getting any help from anyone. Boise State has one tough game left. That's Nevada. Ohio State has Iowa at Wisconsin. At Wisconsin, then at Iowa. And then later, to finish up the year, they're at home versus Michigan. TCU has to go to Utah November 6th. And
that'll be a playoff game there.
Oregon has Oregon State at the end, USC and the schizophrenic UCLA team. So they still have a chance. They can keep hope alive, but they're going to have to do their part and win out.
Right. Well, I think and just hearing, obviously, it's only 10:34 on Monday, so our call-in shows, which really are prevalent in this part of the country, have not begun, but just barely yet for the week, and the Alabama fans calling in. But I think a big point of, I guess,
contention?
Not complaining, yeah, but the point of wondering, scratching head, wondering why from Alabama fans is the offensive play calling to abandon the running game with your Heisman Trophy winner and possibly the second best back in the conference, Trent Richardson, seemed to have success early in the second half, but they only ran the ball four times in the second half.
They saw something in the game plan, I guess, but you'll have this from every game you lose. They'll always be second-guessing. Why did they not just go for it on a fourth and 11? Why did they line up in a fake field goal? Why not just go for it if your offense is doing well? Why on a third and four would you throw a pass instead of running the ball? And on a second and five, why would you not try to run the ball there? There's a lot of what-ifs. Defense, I mean, Mark Barron almost had an interception that would have changed the game around. He just mistimed his jump, and Alshon Jeffrey comes down with the ball in the end zone. Dre Kirkpatrick did everything he could. I mean, it was obvious he was pass interfering, but he just could not get the ball away. His size disadvantage definitely showed up there. Alabama's defense had a lot of missed tackling, which was a very, very big problem. And they're going to definitely have to work on that if they're going to try to go anywhere better. But their front seven starting to look, outside of Marcell Dareus, they do not look like the same one from last year. And it just shows you how difficult it is to replace all the talent they had last year.
It's going to be very interesting to see this Alabama team play out. And moving on now from that particular game and looking at this picture, David, I was just yesterday afternoon was just kind of drawing some scenarios up in my mind. I mean, this SEC West, you have Alabama with the one loss to South Carolina, Arkansas almost eliminated because their one loss is to their rival Alabama, but they could still get in a tie, I guess. LSU unbeaten, Auburn unbeaten. I mean, is this SEC West race not getting very interesting?
And I know they're out of it, but Mississippi State and Ole Miss are going to have a factor in the SEC West race. They're a very, very good middle-of-the-pack team that if they get you at home in the right settings, they can give you a challenge. Mm-hmm. Ole Miss, Masoli starting to come into his own. Mississippi State's finally starting to find an offense with Ralph. This could be a very interesting stretch for everybody.
Well, we talked about it with the LSU play-by-play announcer Jim Hawthorne the other day, the Florida game, and just when you think this guy cannot possibly have anything else go his way, if you watch, I can't even describe it to you because we don't have time, but the end of the LSU Florida game, once again, Les Miles lucks out in a 33-29 victory.
Borderline lateral pass. He is very lucky that was a lateral pass, and he's Les Miles. I mean, what can you say?
But, you know, in all seriousness, they do get a lot of fortune. At the same time, though, you have to be in position for fortune. And I think Les does a good job of getting his team prepared to play ball games. I mean, they were prepared to play that game the other night.
Patrick Peterson goes down. Their defense gives up the touchdown. 3 minutes and 14 seconds to run their two-minute offense, and they managed to get a touchdown out of it. Their defense did a great job most of the night, and if it weren't for two turnovers that set up ridiculously short fields for Florida, I don't think LSU gives up anything.
I agree, and Florida, well, we'll talk about them in a minute. They're free fall right now, but Alabama may not even be the best team in its own state.
How about the Auburn Tigers? I mean, just when you think they're out, they go and prove you wrong. Kentucky, when I was watching that game, Kentucky scores, ties it up 34-34. Mm-hmm. I look at my wife, see how much time's on the clock. I'm going, they're going to run this ball, they're going to run out the clock, and they're going to win the game.
Right.
And with Cameron Newton, he is going to be the weapon that they're going to use. It made no sense to me that they even took the ball out of his hands. He wears you down. He'll get those 4 or 5 yards of carry. But the thing is, if he keeps leading with his head the way he does, all it takes is a helmet to helmet. He's going to get that bell rung.
Wow.
So he's going to have his bell rung if he continues that. But that's the style of runner he is, just like a Tebow. He's a very physical guy.
Yeah, he is. And Auburn, I heard a caller this morning, and I hate to keep referencing callers, but that's really the barometer of what the fans think. I heard a caller this morning, an Auburn fan, talking about, you know, Auburn, it didn't look pretty against Kentucky, didn't look pretty against Clemson, didn't look pretty against South Carolina. But I'm thinking, okay, it didn't look pretty, but it doesn't matter.
They're still winning. The only thing that's going to be difficult for them is their defense continues to give up large points.
True.
And
this will be the biggest test this week, and we won't talk about it until Thursday. But this
very big test with Arkansas and that Auburn secondary. Can they limit Mallett and make Mallett make mistakes?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think Auburn's defense has grown a little bit, but giving up 34 points to Kentucky is just alarming.
Speaking of alarming, how about the jail alarms going off again in Athens, Georgia? Yet another Georgia Bulldog.
And arrested. It wasn't for Damon Evans this time.
It was not. It was for Caleb King, their second leading rusher, who had an outstanding warrant, and he gets arrested.
Well, we've talked about it.
Even when they win, they can't win.
Mark Richt cannot get his program under control. Yes, they had a 41-14 win. And by the way, Sears, you and I did.
Horrendous.
I mean, I don't even know if they want us to come back this week. Bunsports.com is going to kick me off. But no, we did a terrible job.
I heard
job.
That Jacob Bunn's a real tough boss.
We both picked Tennessee, and they got run.
Tennessee's a lot like UAB right now. They look like they turn the corner, and then they lay a huge egg.
Right.
Then they surprise you. They play a team really tough. Next week, they're absolutely
look for
garbage.
Them to play Alabama tough. That's their next opponent.
I bet they're going to play Alabama very tough. They're at home. They're going to have the crowd there. However, they still haven't sold out for the game. Alabama,
speaking of sold
Tennessee.
Out, and speaking of Georgia, I was watching the game on my HD television at home, and it was very visible. Georgia had I don't know.
About 10,000, what'd you say?
Empty seats, and just, I mean, that's ridiculous. For a program like Georgia, when you have competitors like Alabama and Auburn having so much success and selling out, I mean, there's just no enthusiasm around that program right now. And, yeah, they survived a Tennessee team that they should beat, and that's great. But let's not overdo that. Mark Richt has lost complete control of his program. Once again, Caleb King arrested. Nothing seems to be going right for Mark Richt.
And in this day and age, when you have a student athlete or student recruit coming to the thing, the environment plays a huge factor. That Alabama-Florida environment definitely swayed some recruits to Alabama, made them definitely put them on their list. So we're going to see a lot of people say, you know, this isn't just going to hurt us now. This is going to hurt us in the long run, too. Mm-hmm.
I heard on game day, watching College Game Day on ESPN, Chris Fowler said that there were several recruits that were supposedly, according to them, going to make their decisions based on whether or not South Carolina won that game or how well they played, competed in the game. If that's true, and I heard, was following Travis Haney, Gamecocks blog on Twitter Saturday, he said that this was by far the best atmosphere he's ever been in since covering South Carolina game day atmosphere. So if that's true, I mean, South Carolina, nobody can even measure how big that win was for them.
It's the biggest win in school history. It is. There is no other way to say it. It's the biggest football win in school history. They were able to do something they've never done before. They were 0-4 in their previous attempts at knocking off a number one team. They were able to have a great environment. They were able to do everything they needed to do. They played the perfect game. They played the game of their lives, basically. Now, are they going to be able to do that every week? No.
No.
But they were able to get up and do that one moment, and that's all it takes is just one game, because that's all you have.
Other notes from the weekend, as far as scores, Vanderbilt beat Eastern Michigan very easily, 52-6. And a big win for Mississippi State. They gave up 24 points, but defense is not the strength of that team. 47-24 over Houston. I thought that was a good, solid win.
Very good one for Mississippi State to watch some of that game on CBS College Sports. I just think that Dan Mullen's going to have that program going in the right direction. How long will he stay there? Probably 5 years max, but he'll have that program left in a lot better shape than he inherited it from Sylvester Croom, and he'll be able to make that a middle-of-the-back SEC team like the way Jackie Sherrill did back in the 90s.
Arkansas was a 24-17 winner over Texas A&M.
Very surprising. I thought Arkansas would do a lot better.
They were maybe peeking ahead a little bit.
They had to knock down a pass at the end of regulation.
And finally, we come to the Gators of Florida. What has happened to Urban Meyer's team? 33-29, they fall to the LSU Tigers.
Urban does not look right. He looks very gray. He looks very gaunt. He does not look like he is enjoying being a football coach anymore. Maybe he should have just done the retirement like he had planned to after the Florida game. After the Cincinnati game.
I bet he wish he has now. I mean, absolutely. After dropping two straight wins to SEC West rivals, Alabama, of course, getting embarrassed last week. They had some chances, but they didn't convert on them. And so you can't say that the game would have been closer. It wasn't closer. It was 31-6. And then last week, let's be honest, Florida, if all things are equal.
The only reason they were in that game was because of a huge kickoff return and very short field position. Mm-hmm. Other than that, LSU just stomped them.
Right.
And they're off. LSU's offense almost became a huge liability again, but defense did enough, and the offense was able to put together that ridiculous drive to win the game. How do you leave the middle that wide open in a two-minute drill? There was nobody in the middle. And then he's trying to strip the ball, allowing him to get down to the three-yard line.
I honestly thought he was going to carry him into the end zone.
It really looked like he was about to do that.
Big stories this weekend, LSU and Auburn. Auburn survives. LSU with a big win on the road against Florida. South Carolina making program history, beating number one. Steve Spurrier moves into the category of second winningest coach in Southeastern Conference history to Paul Bear Bryant. Great win for him. The biggest question, though, is around here. Is Governor Bob Riley going to have to declare a state of emergency because Alabama fans are in full mass?
What's the most ridiculous thing you've heard? I've heard fire Jim McElwain.
I've heard fire Saban. I've read fire Saban.
I've also read get rid of Greg McElroy. So we can get rid of Jim McElwain and
but Alabama fans are not delusional.
Not at all.
Not at all.
They're grounded.
We will be back in a couple days, and we will preview what should be another great weekend of SEC football. Everyone, have a nice couple days. We'll see you soon.